want to invite you into our lives. God, we want to surrender. We want to surrender our lives to you, God. We want to surrender our circumstances, Lord. We want to surrender our fears, God. We want to surrender our inability, Lord. We want to surrender our failure, God. We want to surrender everything, Father, to you. And Lord, we want to ask you, Father, we want to ask you to come into our life, Lord, and to speak life, to bring life, to be life within us. God, within our lives, within our soul, within our emotion, within our minds, God, within our resolutions, Lord, within our determination, Father God, within our ability, Father God, in everything, Father, we surrender it to you, Father, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, come and fill us again anew, afresh with the revelation of Christ. Lord, we pray that you will come and rule and reign in our lives as we surrender it to you. Father, we say we are the clay. You are the potter. God, we're going to surrender our lives into your hands and say, Father, form us, shape us. Lord, bless us. Lord, the way you want to do it, the way you know that leads to life. God, we want to surrender to you. And we want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love the way God speaks to us. The title of my sermon is Going Deeper. And that's the sacrifice of Christ. That is Christ coming to the earth to remove all the hindrances, all the legalities, all the things that would have prevented us to come before a holy God and stand into His presence. God has come to remove all our sin, all our shame, all the guilt, all the handwritten requirements that was against us. He removed it completely so that we can come into His presence. And the reason for that is not to be in His presence, but to know Him. But to know Him. And so many people relate to God only in this aspect of, I can come into His presence without fear. And that is true, but that's kind of just half the gospel. The whole purpose of setting us free is so that we can know Him. He says, I am your Father. I mean, it's amazing if you think about how big, how unattainable in our understanding and comprehension God is. You know, He is the creator of the universe. You know, the Word of God declares that he, you know, the universe spans in His hand. I mean, God is not just the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the source of life. He is the beginning and the end. He is eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful. And He wants us, insignificant me, Andres, to know Him. And He's given His Son so that I can come into His presence so that I can relate to Him as God, but also as Father. As a matter of fact, Scripture says, through the Spirit of God within us, we call out to God, Abba, Father, which is a term of endearment. It's like Daddy God. That we can come to God, Daddy God. So God has a desire that we must know Him personally. Not just about Him, but to know Him. As a matter of fact, He not just calls us His Father, He calls us His children. And He wants us to have that relationship as a little child running to his father, saying, Daddy. I mean, that's such a beautiful picture. I think always of my children, you know, when I would leave them in a crowd of people. In a crowd of strangers, there is somebody in that crowd that they not just know, but they know they are safe with. And in the midst of a crowd, in the uncertainty of all the voices and all the strangers, when I appear, there is a confidence, there's a relief, and there's a response. You know what is their response? They run. You know, just yesterday, I took my girls out to, what is this place where the playground is? Wonderland, that's it. That's the place name, Wonderland. Now, for those of you who have kids, you know what I'm talking about. It's a place, it's a little coffee shop. It's okay, you know, but it's got a playground. So all the kids play there. And while my little one was playing inside, I and my eldest were talking. She's a bit older, so she doesn't want to play anymore. She wants to connect with me. So we were chatting. And at one stage, little Janine was coming back. And we told her, listen, we're just quickly going into the nursery. So we're still in this premise. But if we're not at our table, we're just quickly going to buy something. So we'll be back. And lo and behold, while we did that, Janine came out looking for her father. And he wasn't there. And the panic and the tears, and it was a big scene apparently. And the waiter took her by hand and started to search for me and couldn't find me because we were going out of the shop as they were going into the shop. And as we got to the table, she saw me. And you know what is her response? She was just running. She was just running to her father. And it's not just because she knew about me. It's because she knows me. She knows how much I love her. She knows all the time and the effort and the pleasure that we have together. So there's a relationship that defines a response. And it's that kind of relationship that God wants us to have with Him. He's not just a concept. He's not just a creed. He's not just far and distant. He is a living, eternal being that loves you. That's given life to you, and He has a desire that you must know Him. And He has made it available to us. And that's really what I want to share about this morning. You know, in the context of so much that we've shared before, if you're a guest here, in the beginning of the year, God has really laid this two scriptures on our heart that is found in Philippians 4, verse 9, and John 4, where God is encouraging us in this season that we're in, that everything that we have heard, received, and learned over the years, it is time to put it into practice. As Christians, we have learned and received so much over the years. God is speaking to us, and He says, it's time to put it into practice. It's time to take everything that you know about me and put it into practice. And in the context of an urgency to finish the work. To finish the work, to see the harvest come in. So we have a Father that is saying to us, everything that you know about me, it's time to put it into practice. It's time to finish the work. It's time to go into the harvest field. So everything that we're teaching and preaching in this year is in relation to God's heart for us, to grow in our relationship, but in a sense to grow up as little children to become teenagers, where the Father wants to expose us to the family business, which is to see the lost saved. And then to say, now go. It's time. It's time to go. And in this context, we've been sharing a lot of things. But this morning, this week as I was preparing and just seeking God's face about what we need, not just from Him, but Father, what do you want us to become? Where do you want us to go? Lord, what do you want me to say? Father, what is on your heart? You know, God again just laid this impression of His yearning for us to grow in our relationship with Him as a Father, but also with His passion. And we've been sharing a lot about that. And to walk in the fullness. And that's really what God was speaking to me. It's about the fullness. He has a desire not only for us to know Him, but to walk into the fullness of everything that He has given us in Christ Jesus. So God, you know, the sad thing is, so many Christians relate to salvation only as forgiveness. I mean, that's how Christians, many Christians see salvation. They see salvation is this place of being saved from condemnation. But salvation is far more than that. Salvation is unto a relationship with God. But within this relationship, there is fullness, there is abundance, there is joy, there is provision. There's an aspect of salvation that so many Christians miss, because they see it only as forgiveness. But it's unto a relationship that has fullness. And the word that I really believe God is wanting to encourage us with this morning is that He wants us not just to be saved, not just to be in His courtroom. but to dwell in the fullness of everything that He has made available through Christ Jesus. It's like, you know what? You know, I come from the military, but before you go into combat, you get kitted out, man. You get like a rucksack full of everything you can possibly think of that you will possibly need. From food, clothing, bedding, ammunition, weapons. You know, I don't know if you've seen these pictures where we pack out our bags, you know, and you see all the stuff that we carry. You know, from food to weapons to grenades and you know, rocket-powered grenades. I love those ones especially. But you get so much cool stuff, man. You just get so many cool stuff. But there's so many Christians, we still play with a pocket knife. We've got this whole bag full of stuff, but we play with a pocket knife. And God is saying, look, I've given you so much. I've paid for all this stuff. And I want you to have it. I want you to experience it. I want you to live it. I want you to use it. Because I paid for it. And that's really the heart of God this morning. He wants us not just to know Him, but to walk in the fullness of everything that Christ has come to establish. You know what? My heart, my desire for each and every person is that one day when we meet the Lord, we would have actually accessed everything that He came to establish through Jesus Christ. The healing, the provision, the empowerment, the life, the abundance, all the stuff. All the realities, all the blessings. There is just so much that God has given us, and we play with our pocket knives. And God's desire is, look, I've given you all this in Christ. It's already there. It's already yours. You don't need to earn it. My son did it for you. It's yours. I mean, all the promises that we have in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, it's yours. It's paid for. It's a reality. God wants you to access it. God wants you to access it. And it's about this that I want to speak this morning. You know what? That's the challenge about religion. Religion gives you a lot of rules that you have to obey so that you can maybe obtain the favor of God. It's like religion gives you lots of stuff to do so that you can earn the love of God. But a relationship with God is completely different. It's God loves you. And out of that relationship with you, with God, the works flows naturally. You see the difference. And God wants us to experience out of a relationship with Him everything that He has given us so that we can live it. And that's where I'm coming from this morning. So, last couple of weeks, almost 6 weeks, we've been speaking about the Holy Spirit in the same context. In the same context. I mean, Scripture makes it so clear, so powerful, the prophecies and the difference in the Old Testament. And I know I keep on sharing it, but I want to say it again. The significance, the anticipation of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Where in the Old Testament, God was amongst His people. God was amongst the congregation. It was clearly seen and experienced. God is amongst His people. We see the cloud of the cloud by day that moved. That was the presence of God. It was clearly seen. God is amongst His people. And the fire by night. God was amongst His people. And the Shekinah glory in the temple, God was amongst His people. And then came this promise that one day I'm going to pour out my Spirit within you. And I'm not just going to be amongst you, I'm going to be within you. And the Holy Spirit is such an awesome reality that God has given through salvation, through what God has established. And so many Christians, they only use like 5% of the reality. They only experience, uses the wrong word, they only experience, they only relate to God, the Holy Spirit, in such a small measure. And He has given everything. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives within you. You have become the temple of God. God is now within you. And we've been sharing a lot about this, so I don't want to continue, but it's such a powerful example of just one aspect of salvation that God has made available to us. And he says, I've given you my spirit that lives within you. And God wants us to experience everything that that entails. Not just the pocket knife, but all the blessings. So he's encouraging us to live that. So God has given us far more than forgiveness. I mean, he's given us intimacy with the Holy Spirit within us. He's given us identity because of the Spirit within us that gives us authority. And he says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we spend time of that. He's given us purpose through the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, I am sending you, I'm anointing you, I'm commissioning you, I'm empowering you to finish the work. And then, of course, the empowering aspect of the Holy Spirit that, listen, you don't have to do it in your own strength. As a matter of fact, it is always so powerful for me. After Christ gave the Great Commission, this is the final instruction before he's going back to the Father. And he says, listen, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I'm commissioning you. Therefore, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Teach them and baptize them. Or baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And I'm with you always. And then he says, but before you go and do anything, wait. Just wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes, he will empower you to be witnesses. He will empower you to do the Great Commission. So before you go with your pocket knife, in your zeal and excitement, wait for the kit bag. Because you will have everything you need. And God is encouraging us to access it. It's yours. It's already there. You don't need to earn it. It's there. You just need to take it. Don't leave the kit bag at home. Take it along. Open the zips. Check inside. Learn to use that what God has given us. So, it's already here. It's already given to us the fullness of Christ. God wants us to experience that. I mean, in Ephesians 1 verse 3, he says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay. You have been blessed, the kit bag, with every spiritual blessing. It's there. You don't need to earn it. It's there already. It's there. God speaks about, life in abundance in John 10. He says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Not just the life that you used to have before you got saved. Some Christians live with the same issues, the same fears, now that they're saved. It cannot be the same. It isn't the same. It's there. You just need to access it. God says, I've given you life, and I've given you life so that you can have it more abundantly. It's there. Then he also continues and says that I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So God is saying everything that you need in this life, I've given it to you. And everything you need for godliness in your relationship with me, I've given it to you. It's already there. Just access it. Just take hold of it. We read here, and here I got stuck as I was looking through this portion of scripture in his context, and God started to speak to me. And I want us just to look at this for a moment in 2 Peter 1, verse 1 to 11. This is where people, where the word of God speaks about the fact that he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Who've read that before? We know that portion of scripture. Now, here's Peter, and he's speaking, and the Holy Spirit is inspiring him and just speaking through him. And here Peter says, we start from the beginning here. Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we can go, I don't have enough time to go into all of this. But to those who have obtained like precious faith with us the righteousness of God and the Savior of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, what a powerful opening, hey? May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted us these His precious and very great promises, that through them you may become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control, and with self-control, steadfastness, and with steadfastness, godliness, and with godliness, brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities are so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an inheritance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what is Peter talking about? He starts off by saying and praying that what we already have will be multiplied. Right there, back in verse 2. I think if we can go back to verse 2. There. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. He's speaking of something that we already have as Christians. I mean, being saved, we have the grace of God and we have the peace of God. And he's saying, listen, may your grace and peace be multiplied, increase, double in your life. And you know, it doesn't really make sense. You must understand this. If grace is only forgiveness, it doesn't really make sense. But grace is far more than forgiveness. Grace is not just forgiveness. It's actually empowering you to live the life God wants you to be. It's more than forgiveness. It's an empowering favor that rests upon us. It's something we didn't deserve. It's something that God gave us. It's more than forgiveness. It actually empowers us to live. You know, remember Paul when he says, you know what, I've prayed to God to remove this thorn in my flesh 3 times. And then God gave me this revelation that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. When He says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's an empowering aspect of God. And Peter says, listen, you may this empowering reality of God's forgiveness and empowering reality of God's life in you be multiplied. And then he speaks about this peace. He says, may the peace of God be multiplied in you. Peace speaks, of course, of this surpassing understanding that or speaks of a peace that surpasses our understanding, that speaks and like Mario was sharing about hope and Martin was sharing about hope. Peace is based on this hope. Because of this hope, there's something within me that's called peace, that is beyond my circumstances. As Martin shared it so beautifully. Thank you, Lord. But shared it so, you too, Martin, for being obedient. but beyond my circumstances, despite my circumstances, there is peace within me. So my peace is not based on my circumstances. My peace is based on my relationship with God. Because I know Him, and the more I know Him, the more peace I have. I mean, that is Matthew chapter 6, do not worry about life. Why do you worry about what you're going to eat and drink? Don't you know who God is? Look at Him. Look how He provides and cares for everything. And the more you know that, the more peace you have. And yeah, Peter speaks about the fact that our peace and our empowerment can be multiplied. Because I found so many times in Christians' lives, you know what? This peace is where you're not afraid, where you're at rest, where you're content, where you're at peace. This can be multiplied. How can this be multiplied? Well, it's very simple. He says there, in your knowledge of God. In your relationship with God. So many Christians, their peace is very thin. Have you noticed that? They've got peace, but their peace is very thin. The moment circumstances turns against them, their peace leaves. They start to stress and to worry. So Peter says, listen here, your peace, my prayer for you is that your peace will multiply, that it will grow, that it will strengthen. And the way your peace is going to grow, multiply, strengthen is through a relationship with God. It is so simple. People, look, the gospel is simple. That makes it so powerful. The power is in its simplicity. But over and over, we are reminded of the simplicity of the gospel, that it is based on faith, grace, and a relationship with God. That is the power of the gospel. And yet, Peter is saying, listen, in your relationship with God, as you grow in your understanding of who He is, your peace will multiply. Because if you understand who God truly is, that He is a Father that loves you, that cares for you, that sustains everything around you, as you grow in your revelation and a relationship with this almighty reality, all of a sudden, your circumstances are not going to affect your peace. So as you grow in your relationship with God, your peace is going to grow. As you grow in your revelation with God, the grace in your life is going to grow. And I'll explain to you why. But this relationship is based on understanding and knowing God. These two things. Remember a couple of weeks or months ago, I preached on Jeremiah that speaks about this. Let him who glories, let him boast in this. You know where it says, let the wise man not boast in his wisdom, the rich man in his wealth, the powerful in his power. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and know me. Those two things. Our relationship with God is based on the correct understanding, the factual correctness of who God is, and then the knowing of those facts, the relating to that. That's our relationship is based on these two aspects. It's who God is, and then knowing Him for who He is. He's not Allah. Look, He's not Buddha. He's not Krishna. All gods are not the same. If you don't have your facts right, you're never going to know Him. You got to get your facts right. You got to know who He is and praise God for the Bible and through the Spirit that illuminates the truth that's within it so that we can know, we can get our factual understanding correct. But that is not enough to know about God, to get your facts correct. You got to know Him because He's not just a creed. He's not a philosophy. He is real. So you got to understand and know God. And as you understand and know God, the reality of that gives you more peace. Because the less you will fear, I can guarantee you this, the more you know God, the more you grow in your relationship with God, the less you will fear. The more you hear His voice, the less you will fear. The more you hear His voice, as a matter of fact, you will make decisions based not on circumstances, but on what He says. And that changes everything. And then he adds, Peter adds, he says, He has granted us these very precious and very great promises. And he speaks about the divine nature versus the sinful nature. And I preached on it a couple of weeks ago, the sinner versus the saint. Remember that? So I'm not going to go into this. And then he says, for this very reason, make very effort to supplement your faith. He says this, to add to your faith. You know, because of these great and awesome promises, because of what God has promised and given us, everything that we need for life and godliness, because He's already given us everything we need for life and godliness, add to your faith so that you can get there. Why is that important? You know, for many Christians, sadly, I see that our pursuit for God ceases shortly after salvation. our pursuit for God ceases shortly after salvation. And then we become unfruitful and ineffective. I mean, where's verse 5? Oh, no, go on, verse 5. His divine power has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. Next slide. Yes, the next one. Is there no more slides? Oh dear. Well, there's great promises of great slides. Gaan terug. Okay, don't worry. We'll get there. Okay. But the point that I'm trying to make is God has given us so much. We can access that, but the way we access it is not through earning it. It is through a relationship. Through a relationship, you access all these things. And God is encouraging us through a relationship. He's saying, add to your faith pursuit. Many people pursue Christ, and soon after their salvation, they cease to pursue Him. And they become ineffective and unfruitful in their relationship, in their knowledge of God. It's almost like marriage. Many husbands, shortly after the wedding, cease to pursue their wives. And they become ineffective and unfruitful in their relationship. Have you seen that before? I'm glad you're all doing it right. You're very quiet, men. Sadly, I see it in so many people's lives. They were pursuing their wives until they got married, and then after a while, now that they've got the marriage certificate, they're no longer pursuing their wife. And because they're no longer pursuing their wife, they become ineffective and unfruitful. And Mario spoke about it earlier. He said the difference between being married and being in love. What a beautiful example. He's been in love for 46 years, going 47. I'm a prophet. So too in our relationship with God. And, you know, just this week again, my wife challenged me. You know, and we can so easily have the marriage certificate and no longer pursue our wives. But the amazing thing is, guys, as you pursue your wife, you will become more effective and fruitful. I don't need to explain that. Yes, you will become more fruitful and effective in your pursuit. Okay, but that's not just going to come because you're married. It's going to come because you're pursuing her. And as you're pursuing her, your relationship becomes more effective and becomes more fruitful. But I can guarantee you, if you stop pursuing your wife, your relationship will become less fruitful and less effective. And so too in our relationship with God. Remember, He's a relational being. He's not a dead statue. He doesn't need our sacrifices. He doesn't need anything. He has a desire for a relationship. And as we grow in our relationship with Him, He reveals more of Himself to us. This whole kit bag is yours. It's already there. And the way you get there is through a relationship. But you need to pursue that. You need to add to your faith virtue and godliness and knowledge and self-control. And you know, it's you pursue God. And as you pursue Him, you have more of Him. How does this increase? It says, "My grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ." How can grace increase? No, well, grace is not just forgiveness. It is the empowerment of God to do what He has called us to do, to be who He's called us to be. You don't have to even try to change. God will change you, but you've got to pursue Him. And in your pursuit of Him, He will change you. Does it make sense to you? So many people sit back and they wait for God to like a magic wand, ping, now you. No. It's in your relationship with Him you are changed to become like Him. But you've got to pursue Him. And in your pursuit of Him, that changes. You know what grace is in the empowerment? You know, we were listening to a teaching of prophecy that was so powerful. It speaks about the power of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is declaring the word of God over somebody. It's more than predicting the future. It's not word of wisdom or word of knowledge. It's actually speaking the word of God. You know what's so powerful about the word of God? The word of God creates. It creates. It establishes. You know, God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. You know, God spoke, you know, let there be animals, and there was animals. When God speaks, it creates, it enables, it empowers. What there wasn't before, it establishes. And the more you know God, the closer you get to God, the more you're exposed to God's word. And when He speaks to you, when He speaks over you, He's not just declaring what's going to happen, He's enabling you to do what's going to happen. And that's the powerful thing in this relationship with God. And therefore, Peter says, listen here, may the peace and the grace of God be multiplied in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is in your relationship with Him, your peace and your grace that operates in your life will increase, because as you get to know God, He's going to speak over you. And you're going to hear Him. And when you do, it's going to enable you. It's going to enable you. So every promise, every life can be multiplied in a relationship. Do you get the drift? It's through a relationship. It's through a relationship. So in the increase of the knowledge of Christ, in this relationship with Him, God speaks to us. And we must make every effort to add to our faith as we have to add to our marriage. Guys, you must make every effort to add to your marriage certificate. Love, relationship, pursuit. And that will release, that will produce something. So here it continues in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement with your faith virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and with self-control steadfastness, and with steadfastness godliness, and with godliness brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection love. Now, I don't have time to go into these, but for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? I mean, the reality is there are some Christians that are ineffective and unfruitful in their relationship with Christ. And yet Peter says, but if you pursue a relationship with God, you will grow in these qualities. And as they increase in your life, you will become more effective and fruitful in your relationship with God. It is not complicated. That's why I believe God has given us marriage. So that we can learn. As a matter of fact, some other time we'll preach on that. The mystery of that. So, as through these qualities, we become more effective and fruitful in the things, all the things that you have learned, received, and heard, as you put it into practice, as you pursue it, the God of peace will be with you, the more effective and fruitful in our knowledge we will become. For whoever lacks these qualities are so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, we will be richly provided for you an inheritance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what he is saying, put into practice these qualities, this pursuit, and you will never fall. And you will be richly rewarded for eternity. Pursuing God produces not just in this life, but in the life to come. Now remember this. God has already given you everything you need for life and godliness. He has already given you everything you need to pursue a relationship with Him. Everything. He's already given it to you. It's already there. You must simply access it. And the way you access it is through a relationship. But you, me, have to pursue the relationship. Okay? We have to pursue that relationship. And in that relationship, all these things come. Now, remember that. Remember that God has already given you all you need to acquire these qualities through the Holy Spirit that is within you. I mean, that was 2 Corinthians. We spoke about that. 2 Corinthians 3 says, but we all, do we have that? Oh, yes, we do. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you see that? So as we see Him and we pursue Him and we pursue what we see of Him, as we increase in our knowledge, our relationship with Christ, we see who Christ is. As we pursue that, we are changed from glory to glory, from one level to the next. It increases in us that very same image, that transformation that takes place. And that is by your effort? No, it's by the Spirit of God within you. Okay, so pursue Him. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. If you don't know what it is, ask your wife. Do the things you did in the beginning. Remember the first love thing? I love the way our God has created in us everything we need to understand Him and how He speaks to us. You know, when we speak about marriage soon, you know, it speaks about the mystery which is between Christ and the church. So if you want to know how to pursue God, pursue your wife. Ask your wife what a relationship means. And she will tell you what a relationship is. It's like, maybe you should spend time with me. Speak to me. You know, speak to me. Communicate to me. Speak to me not just how your work was, but what's going on in your heart. I want to know, you know that. Speak to me. How did the meeting go? No, good. No. How's John doing? Oh, he's doing fine. No. Details. I want to know the details. Speak to me. Surprise me now and then. You know, buy me gifts. Do stuff that I like, you know. Hey, okay. Right, you get the point. Right. You must pursue God. Now, this is what I actually want to share. That was just the introduction. God led me to this portion of Scripture in Ezekiel. Where He's calling us to go deeper in His relationship with Him. Because He has so much more to give us. Everything for life and godliness. All the spiritual blessings that is in heavenly places is here. God is calling us, come closer. I want you to experience what I've given you. Come closer. In Ezekiel chapter 47, from verse 1 to 12, I'm not going to read the whole portion. You can read through that. But I just want to read the first 6 verses that speaks about God wanting us to go deeper in our relationship with Him. And it's a prophetic word, and I want us to open our hearts to this. And later on, He speaks about the result of this. And we won't have time to go into this. But then He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And He brought me out of by the way of the north gate, and this is now the future temple of God, and he brought me around on the other side, the outer gateway that faces east where the water was, running out of the right side. And when the man went out of the east side with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, about 500 meters, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. And again we measured another 500 meters and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured another 500 meters and the river was so strong, was so deep that I could not cross it, for the water was too deep, the water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And then he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he goes on and he speaks about the effect of this river of life. You know, that all the trees along the banks were producing fruit and its leaves never withered, and it produced healing, and it speaks about this river that flows to the Dead Sea, and everywhere the river goes, life is produced, and the Dead Sea is filled with fish. I don't know if you've been to the Dead Sea yet. I've drifted there. Yes. And it's dead, and it speaks that as this river of life flows, it actually produces life everywhere. It goes even to the Dead Sea, and it gets filled with fish of all kinds of sorts as this river of life, this provision, this eternal life, this everything that God has come. You know, Jesus speaks about those who believe in me, rivers of living waters will flow. And then he says, I'm not speaking about water. I'm speaking about the Spirit that will come when everybody believes in me will receive. And he speaks about the provision of God. But you know what is so powerful, what God spoke to me about, is the fact, you know what, there are some people, God has made such great provision for us, but we're still standing on the banks. We haven't even entered into the river. You've heard about God. You've heard about salvation. You've heard about this abundant life. You've heard about many things, but you've never stepped into the river. You're still on the bank. You're still checking this thing out. And God this morning is encouraging you to step into the river. This river has life. Wherever it goes, it produces life, fruit, healing, provision. But you need to step into it. And then there's some people of us here this morning. You're in the river, but you're like ankle deep. You've just like stepped into it. You stepped into salvation. You stepped into a relationship with God, but it's just ankle deep. As a matter of fact, you're like in the river, but you're still looking at what's going on the banks. It's like you're constantly distracted by what's going on in the world. I mean, you're in the kingdom, but the world is very attractive. And you're constantly looking back at what's going on, and then God is encouraging you. It's time to go deeper. It's time to let go of the world. Let go of what's going on the banks. Just let go. That doesn't lead to life. That's not going to give you peace. Come closer to me. Come closer to me. And then God is saying, there's some of us, you know, we're in this river. We're in this river. We're like ankle deep or knee deep. You know, we can feel the current. We can feel this river flowing. We can feel God is moving. We can see where God is going. We can see where God is going with this. But we're still in control here. We're still in our comfort zone. It's like I'm only knee deep. You know, I can get out of this at any time. And God is encouraging us this morning. It's time to get out of our comfort zone. It's time to go deeper. So come closer. I know you feel safe there, but what you understand life to be, but I have far more for you. But you gotta trust me. You gotta come deeper. And then there's some of us, you know what, we in this river like waist deep. It's like swimming in Amarna seas. You know, where you go. This is now, you know, I've committed myself to swim, but this is cold, man. I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to go in for it all the way. You know, this is scary. Okay, if I go any step further, it's all the way or nothing. And God is encouraging me this morning. He says, come on. Just put your head in that first wave. Just go for it. I'm not going to let you drown. I know it's scary, but but just trust me. I want you to go deeper. He wants you to go in all the way. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to say, okay, God, I'm in for it, everything. I'm not going to turn back here. God is encouraging you this morning. It's time to go deeper. And then there's some of us, you're swimming. You've jumped in. And maybe you're a bit nervous whether you can make this And God is saying, don't stop swimming. Don't stop swimming. I'm with you. I'm with you. God is encouraging us to go deeper. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know whether you're ankle deep or knee deep or waist deep, or maybe you've jumped in. But God is encouraging you. It's time to go deeper. Come closer. Come closer. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning that you are speaking to each one of us. And God, you've got so much for us. You've got so much life, so much abundance, so much blessing and provision that you have made available through your Son, through His life and His death and His resurrection, and through the Spirit that you've poured out in each one of us. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within us. All the promises of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Everything that you have said, you have for us. And you are calling us to come closer. You are calling us to go deeper. Because you want to give us so much more. And God, this morning, God, I just sense you are speaking to some people that are still on the banks. And you've never stepped into this river. You're a bit afraid of where this river is going. You're not sure about this river. And if that is you this morning, if you've never given your life to God, God is encouraging you today to step into this river. While all the eyes are closed, if you are here today and God is speaking to you and you want to respond to Him, you want to respond to this invitation to get into the river of life. This is the river of life. This is not the river of fear. This is not the river of curse. This is not the river of loss. This is the river of life. Life in abundance. And if that is you, you want to respond to this call. God is calling you to step into the river. I just want you to raise your hand and say, God, here I am. God, I want to step into this river. I hear that cry. But if that is you, you want to step into this river. Today, God is speaking to you. And I want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am. God, I want to step into this river. And then there's some people here this morning. You are ankle deep. You're in this river, but you're still looking to the banks. God is calling you and say, God, please. God is pleading with you. I say, come, my son. Come, my daughter. I have so much more. Let go of the world. Let go of the world. I have so much more. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want your response. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I hear you, God. I want to respond. I want to go deeper. Just raise your hand and say, God, here I am. Thank you for those hands. Father, thank you for those ankles. Lord, thank you for that willingness to let go. And then there's some of us here, you are knee-deep. You are knee-deep. You're in your comfort zone, and you know God is calling you. God is calling you deeper, but you're in this comfort zone. Everything is under control. Everything is under control. And God is calling you this morning, come deeper. Don't be afraid, but let go of what you know and start to trust me. Because I've got so much more for you. And if that is you, just respond, God. God, here I am, Lord. Thank you for those hands. And then there's some of you here. There's some of you, you can drop your hands. It's just between you and God. And then there's some of you here, you're like waist deep, and you're like, this is cold, Lord. This is serious, God. This is the final point of no return. If I go in here, it's everything. It's everything. And you're not sure whether you're going to make this. It looks very scary. It looks unfamiliar. But God is saying, don't be afraid. I am with you. I'm going to swim with you. I'm not going to let you drown. But it's time to take the dive. If you just get in, just wet your face, just get into the water, it will be fine. If that is you and God is speaking to you, just respond to Him. God, here I am, God. I want to dive in. I want to surrender everything. Thank you for those hands. I'm just going to give an opportunity, just between you and God. And then there's some people here, you are swimming and you are panicking. Because you've let go of everything and you don't know where this is going. This is fast, this is quick. And God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. This is going to be fun. I am so proud of you. But keep on going. If you think you want to give up, just raise your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to continue swimming. Thank you for those hands. Don't be afraid. Just keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. Father, I want to thank you. Father, I want to thank you for each and every heart that is responding, Father God. I want to thank you, Father, that you have promised. You have promised to be with us. You have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. You have promised, Lord, so much. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for each and every heart that is responding this morning, Father God. And as they come deeper, Lord, as they come deeper in pursuing you, Father God, there is so much more in every level, in every step. God is not asking you to go from ankle to the waist deep. He's just asking you this morning to take a step closer, just a step closer. That's all that God is interested in this morning, is just take a step closer, because it's going to take faith, it's going to take trust. But God's grace is going to enable you. So do not be afraid. Father, and I thank you, God, for people that are letting go of the world and are pursuing you. God, I thank you, God, for people that are letting go of their comfort zone, what they trust and trusting you. God, I thank you, Father, that's people, Lord, that is going to surrender everything. Father God, and I thank you that in every step, Lord, there is so much blessing. Father God, there's so much provision. God, and I thank you, Father, that everybody in this room will swim. We'll all swim, God. And thank you, God, for your patience and your love. Father, thank you how you're encouraging us each time to go a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, Lord. And thank you, God, that there is so much waiting. God, thank you, God, for the testimonies of the fullness of God in each and every life. God, so as we go from this place, God, I pray a blessing. I pray an anointing, an enabling, God, this morning, God, as you speak, God, and we receive that word, God. I thank you, Father, it's not just a word. It is your word. It empowers, it enables, it creates, it establishes in each and every heart this morning, Father God. So I thank you that each and every step taken is by your Spirit. And thank you, God, that we'll all be changed to become more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Keep on going deeper. Keep on swimming. Before we leave, we're going to partake of communion. Okay? We're just going to seal this. So please don't leave right now. Communion is sacred. This is where we communicate with God and we say, God, I accept. I choose to identify with everything that you have given me in Christ Jesus. God, and I want to live it to the full. And we're going to do this. So if the ushers can quickly hand out the elements. 2 minutes. We ask for your grace. Please don't leave now. This is a sacred moment where we connect with God. So if the ushers can quickly hand out the elements. And all we're going to do is we're going to respond to God's invitation to go deeper. And we're going to do it through this powerful way that Christ has given us. In that final meal with his disciples, he said, listen, yeah, with a great desire, it's interesting, with a great desire, I've desired to have this meal with you. Because this is the new covenant, Yaku, thank you. This is the new covenant. This establishes the new. This supersedes the old. This fulfills. This completes. This ushers in a new season, a new dispensation of grace and love and life. That is through relationship and not just works, but a relationship. And God, with a great desire, he was desiring for this moment so that we can share in this. And this is not just a remembrance. This is something far more powerful. This is something far more powerful. This is us communicating, but more than that, identifying with Christ. This is us saying, God, I thank you for what you've done for me. And today I choose to embrace what you have done for me. By faith, God, I thank you for what you've done for me on the cross, that you have died for me, that your body was broken for me, that my sin was placed upon you, and it is done away with, it's dealt with. The consequence of my actions is paid for once and for all. It is finished. And God, I thank you for this cup, Lord. I thank you for this cup, this blood that you've given me, that you shed for me. This is the sign of the new covenant. the life that is in your blood, the identity, the reality of being a new creation in Christ Jesus, that I can be free, that I can live in the fullness that you have given me. God, today, Lord, I choose to identify with this. So before we eat, before we drink, we're all going to eat together and we're all going to drink together. And as the elements are being handed out, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take the bread and I want you to thank God for your forgiveness. That came at a cost. It came at a cost. The life of the Son of God. It's not just His life. It's the fact that He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for you and me. So today we thank God for that. So I want you to take this bread and I want you to thank. And in the same way, in your own words, I want you to take the cup and you want to thank God for this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. This eternal life. This relationship. This access that we can come to the Father and know Him. So take a moment. I'm going to give you a moment in your own heart, your own words. Just thank God. Just pray. Thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for the body. And then we're going to eat together. Father, we want to thank You this morning that You're calling us to go deeper. You've given us Your Son to take away everything that can prevent us from doing that. You've taken our sin, our shame, our guilt, and You've placed it on Your Son, and You've judged Him so that the price can be paid in full once and for all. And we remember the cost. We remember the fact, Lord, that we were bought at a price and that we belong to You. We belong to You. We thank You for that sacrifice. We thank You for what You've done for us. Let us eat together. God, as we take this cup, we thank You, God. We worship You for salvation. What this cup represents is life, identity, intimacy, provision, authority, abundance in Christ Jesus. We want to thank You, Father, that salvation is far more than forgiveness. It is a relationship with You that we can enter into. Lord, we want to thank You for that. We want to thank You that You're calling us deeper. God, we're responding to this morning and say, yes, God, we want to know You more. I want to thank You for the blood that was spilled so that we can do just that. So Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we drink not only to our own salvation, but to a relationship with You that produces life eternally. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Amen. Amen. Thank You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for life. Abundance. Life and abundance. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Please remember to collect your children. Guys, remember to love your wives, to pursue them, and all of us to pursue God so that we become fruitful and effective in that relationship. There's some coffee, refreshments, fellowship. If you're in need of prayer, I'm going to be here. But may God bless you in your pursuit, in your relationship. Go and have an awesome week. Have an awesome week.